Well, hey, everyone. This is Heidi St. John. Welcome to the podcast. Today is Mailbox Monday, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time addressing some of the issues in the news and answering listener questions. And we're going to just pause and reflect a little bit on the idiocy of the Biden administration considering locking down the country again in the name of a climate crisis. This is Heidi St. John. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, welcome to the show, you guys. Hope you're doing great wherever you are. And I wanted to say thank you because this is my travel season. I'm out on the road all the time, and we've got a lot going on when we're not on the road. And getting the show out to you guys is a top priority for me, even when I'm traveling. And so I appreciate you guys listening and sharing this show wherever podcasts are heard. Also, thank you guys so much for leaving reviews for the show, for leaving reviews for my books. And we really do want to hear from you. And I'm going to be reading listener questions today. You guys can reach out to me directly, HeidiSt.John.com/Mailbox Monday. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. That is the place to do it. And if you're interested in following our work here at Firmly Planted Family, which is the nonprofit arm of the work that we are doing to rescue kids from the public schools and infuse the families of our generation with the hope that's found in the gospel, you guys can find out information about that by going to firmlyplantedfamily.org. That's firmlyplantedfamily.org. I want to jump into your questions today. The first one came from a listener who said that they were longtime members of a denomination that is becoming more and more apostate and are planning to leave. Would you please discuss the best way to go about leaving a church that you love, filled with people that you love and a pastor that you love, but you cannot stay any longer? Well, the fact that you're saying that this denomination is becoming more and more apostate tells me that you've been watching for quite some time as many of these denominations, I mean, I'll just say it out loud, the Methodist denomination, the Lutheran denomination, the Episcopal denomination, many of the Presbyterians are struggling with issues related to scriptural authority, and they've indoctrinated their parishioners into woke ideology. We watch, you know, there's a church, I think I told you guys, just right down the street from me that has a giant transgender flag up in the front grass. And it's really a shame because it's out on a main street and people drive by it all the time. And it says, everyone is welcome here. Well, that should be the message of every church. Everyone is welcome here, especially the gospel believing, Christ-honoring, truth-telling churches. And it's a sad day. And I interviewed my friend Pastor Jack the other day, and I think that interview is set to air here pretty soon. But Jack and I were talking about what is happening in our churches, and it requires an enormous amount of discernment on the part of the believer right now to be able to see, oh, hey, this is wrong. And we either need to address it as a church and correct the wrong teaching, or we need not to go to that church anymore. And it sounds to me like you are in a church that is one of the denominations that I just mentioned. I'd almost guarantee it. And you know that this is where the church is headed, and so you can no longer stay. And I think that's the message that you send. When you talk to the people that go to that church, you're doing exactly the right thing by asking, how can you address these issues in love so that the people who are still there, hopefully when you leave, you're not burning your bridges, so that their hearts are still open to hearing the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit that says that his people should worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to be committed as Christians to sharing the truth. It matters. And what we've seen now happen for decades and generations even is that we are willing to sacrifice truth on the altar of a misguided mercy. When we don't speak the truth in love, then the truth becomes a weapon. And when we don't speak with love, then the truth can't be heard. And so you have to be walking in the Spirit asking the Lord to help you as you talk to these men and women, and just say, hey, we love you guys, but what you're teaching is not in accordance with sound doctrine. And Paul warned Timothy about this. He said, Timothy, a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound teaching, but they will gravitate toward whatever their itching ears want to hear. Well, what do we want to hear in the culture right now? We want to hear that the sin of homosexuality does not grieve God. We want to hear that we should be worshiping the environment. We want to hear that God doesn't love Israel. I keep hearing, you know, more and more here at the show, people who are writing in and asking questions about replacement theology. And I'm seeing it sort of take root even in Christian circles more and more. And like I said before, I'm not going to lose a friend over it, but we need to do a better job of reading our Bible. Stop blaming Schofield, you know, for the belief that there's going to be a rapture, and just read your Bible. I'm pretty sure we can make a pretty solid case for it. But again, that's not an issue of eternal security. That's not a gospel issue. So many of the issues that these woke churches are leaning into are gospel issues, and we have to be able to come at them from a position of truth. And so I would just encourage you, if you're going to go to your pastor, do it in love. As a pastor's wife for a long, long time, I can tell you some of the most hurtful things that ever happened to us were the result of people who left our churches badly, you know? So what you don't want to do is throw a fit. What you don't want to do is put a big, huge Facebook social media post about how you hate the church or how the church has gone woke. You don't need to do any of those things. You can go to the pastor and say, we love you guys. We've tried everything we know so that we could stay here and not have to go to another church, but we just cannot sit under teaching that is not sound doctrinally. And that is the reason. And I think you let them know, hey, we love you guys and we want to be part of your life, but we are not going to be a part of this church anymore. And they're painful decisions to make. And these are extraordinary times in which we live. But you must be sitting under a pastor who is going to give you good teaching. My friend Pastor Jack wrote a book, and I like I said, I just had him on the show. And it's called Living in the Days of Deception, How to Discern Truth from the Culture's Lies. And this is absolutely necessary in the church. And he talks about that in his book. I hope you guys will pick it up. I'll link back to it in the show notes today. But I don't think this is going to get easier. I think that the church is being purified right now. I think we're starting to see, and frankly, I welcome it, because now at least we know, you know, what side of a theological discussion are our brothers and sisters in Christ on, and can we trust what they say from the pulpit? And more often than not, I think the answer is no. And so we need to know God's word. The time for lazy disciples, lazy followers of Jesus is absolutely over. You guys need to be in your Bibles. Open up your Bible every day of your life. The Bible says that it's like living water for your soul. You wouldn't go for days without water. And yet we go for days as Christians without ever opening our Bibles. And like I said to you guys in Dallas a few days ago, it's not your pastor's job to suit you up for war. It's your job. You should be in the Word. You can't pass on what you don't possess. And so we need to be in the Word, of the Word, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. As I've heard said so many times recently, we want to be ingesting the Word of God every day, so that when we need to make a decision, the Word of God flows from us because we know it and we can defend it. And so you're on my heart, and I'm going to be praying for you as you make this decision, but God will honor it. And so leave well. You leave well by loving well. And then ask the Lord where to show you where to go next. And I'm sure that He will have a wonderful place for you to land.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Next question comes from Abigail. She said, Heidi, I'm wondering if you have resources on how to explain non-binary to kids, specifically why it goes against scripture and why we aren't going to call cousins they, them, and how to remain loving and respectful despite pronouns. Well, I don't think you need a book other than the Bible to explain non-binary to kids. So binary meaning two, right? You have two options. And we've heard from the left in this country and the woke sexual ideologues that they're tired of this binary of male and female, except for God's not tired of it because this is how God made us. We are made male and female. This is true in the animal kingdom as well. And we are called to be ambassadors for the truth. And so you can read scripture to your children for this reason. A man should leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. We are created in the image of God, male and female. And we are also called to be ambassadors of the Lord, right? The Apostle Paul said that it's almost as if God were making his appeal through you. Well, if you can't tell the truth, if you are hijacked by the culture of political correctness and the pronoun idiocy and all of those things, well, your kids aren't going to be able to stand up either. So it has to start with you. I, for one, refute. I will not play. I will not play the game. I'm not going to use incorrect pronouns. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to fall under somebody's threat to use an orthodoxy that is absolutely absurd. And I'm not going to change the syntax of the English language to assuage the mental illness of another human being. I just will not do it. And you guys have heard me say before on the show, you know, when you see public figures get up there and start saying that they don't believe in male and female anymore, I just think they're lying. We can see with our eyes, right? Our eyes bear witness to the fact that there is such a thing as male and female. And so I think the way that we teach our children is that we as Christians, we do not live by lies. We live by the truth of the Word of God. God's Word says in Genesis that He made us male and female in His image. Therefore, this is a spiritual attack. It's an attack against Creator God. It's an attack against what God said is good and what He has created for human flourishing. I was talking to a woman the other day who was saying that she has some friends that are questioning whether or not male and female is a real thing anymore. And I mean, here in the Pacific Northwest, I was just in Costco the other day and some grown man went to the store, beard, high heels. I mean, what's happened is we've just opened Pandora's box. And now we watch these people put their mental illness on full display. And the culture just goes, huh, that's good. Good for you. You saw your authentic true self. Here's a man who's literally being tortured in his mind, but no one's going to help him. And that's the same thing that's true with Bruce Jenner. No one's helping him. No one's loving him. So they're letting him live in this delusion that he's a woman trapped in the body of a man. And that's not love. And Christians are called to love each other, to love one another. And so I would just encourage you, just like I did to the previous question, that the Bible says that they'll know that we are Christians by our love. And we want to be loving, but we also will not sacrifice truth on the altar of mercy. And so we've got to tell the truth. And actually, you know, I would even say it's not merciful even when we engage in lies like this and we just determine, oh, it doesn't matter. And you can have your truth and I can have my truth, but we know that that's actually not true. And so I believe that most of the people in the woke ideologies that are pushing this gender insanity are targeting children. Children are literally being brainwashed and they don't know that there's, two sexes. This word, even gender, is just a made up thing. It makes me so angry, you guys. And I just want to encourage you, love your kids by telling them the truth. Let them see that you're walking in the truth. Let them see that you don't live by lies, that you live by truth. And our truth should be marked with compassion. The truth should be marked with love. God is a God of love. He's also a God of justice and a God of mercy. And He created us in His image. And that needs to be the message. And so I just encourage you guys, don't play the pronoun game. Just don't do it because you're engaging in a lie and you're fostering what is hurting our kids and hurting the culture. And I, for one, am over it. I don't know if you guys are following the headlines, but I've been kind of wondering for a while, okay, what's going to be the new emergency that the Democrats throw at us to mess up the 2024 elections? You know, what could possibly happen? And Matt Walsh wrote an article that came out a couple of days ago in the Daily Wire. The title of Matt Walsh's article is this: "The government is gearing up to declare a climate emergency, which will wipe out what's left of our freedoms." And he goes on to make a case that for several years now, it's been clear that the Biden administration has been thinking about officially declaring a climate emergency. We hear this all the time. Beginning on the day that he took office, several politicians have floated this possibility. And if you don't believe me, just keep checking the news. I mean, in 2021, so January 29th, 2021, the news reported that President Biden shouldn't declare climate change a national emergency. The National Emergency Act is not the right tool to save the planet. But he's been advocating for this since he took charge of the government. By the way, I still believe might be the worst president we've ever had in the history of the United States. I mean, who knows how much worse it's going to get. But the Democrats' leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, recently called on Biden to make the declaration of a climate emergency within a week of his inauguration. And ever since then, there have been articles and deep dives on various outlets, including Politico and the New York Times, suggesting that it would be a really good idea to essentially go to war, as Matt Walsh put it, with the weather. And as his term is winding down, Joe Biden has resisted the hardcore demands to issue a state of emergency. And instead, Biden says that he's, quote, practically declared a climate emergency, which really just means, oh, hey, I like the idea. And if the time is right, boy, I'll do it. So, but this is the thing, you guys. There is not a climate emergency, and everybody who's pushing this hysteria understands this full well, but they will never stop pretending that this is an urgent crisis, because the moment they do, they will lose some measure of control over our lives. This is why you keep hearing people talking about how they want to take away your gas stoves and, you know, and everybody should be driving an electric vehicle and all the stupidity behind the climate crisis emergency. If there was a climate crisis, a pending emergency, then the Democrats know that if they can declare the crisis, they're going to have to do everything they can to address it as aggressively as possible. So if a ship is threatened with sinking, you do everything possible right now to prevent it from taking on more water. And that's exactly what I think the Democrats are going to try to do. The Biden administration, of course, flirting with this idea. And it's telling us that the White House sees an emergency climate declaration as a potential nuclear option to deploy when they get really desperate. And guess what, you guys? They're desperate. They're getting really desperate. If you're watching the judges continuing to treat Donald Trump with contempt, further eroding the trust of the American people in our system of justice, which was supposed to be blind, but obviously it isn't. And the truth of the matter is, we have got a major problem on our hands right now, at least the way that the Democrats see it, in that there's a very real possibility that Donald Trump could win the election, and they just can't have that. And so what are they doing? They're talking about issuing a national emergency. And of course, if they did that, then we're talking about lockdowns. We're talking about how you drive your cars. We're probably talking about the price of gasoline. It could send the nation into an absolute crisis. And so we need to be praying about this. We need to be watching at it. But emergency powers, and I want us to just sort of remember this, they did this in COVID for sure. And what they've done is they've cheapened the emergency powers that have been given to the executive branch of our government. And the emergency powers are really there for actual emergency, terrorist attacks, natural disasters, earthquakes. In my neck of the woods, it would be, you know, a volcano or something like that. They're not intended to address problems that are ongoing, such as this so-called climate emergency, which, by the way, is a hoax. Climate change is a hoax. I was just listening to a guy who I disagree with on several things, but boy, he's a genius when it comes to climate change. He comes at it from the position of an evolutionist. But I listened on Jordan Peterson's podcast the other day to this gentleman who used to be one of the founding members of Greenpeace. So obviously very committed environmentalist, talking about how this junk science, the pseudoscience of climate change is hurting even the efforts of Greenpeace and the efforts to keep the oceans clean. It's kind of amazing. And so these emergency powers, if the Biden administration puts them into practice, I hope that every person that's listening to this show, and I hope you guys pass this on to your friends and your relatives, don't play the game. Don't play the game. If they ever mandate an experimental vaccine, I think there's going to be an uproar in this country like the likes of which we have never seen. I would hate to see what happens if they try to bring back that stupid mask that they mandated and the dumb stickers that they put on the floor telling everybody to stand 6 feet apart. We have lived through one of the most obscene, absurd, ridiculous, stupid periods of time in the history of the United States. And we're continuing to live through it because just like they are pushing climate change, they're also pushing gender ideology that would tell you that a man can go in and have his private parts taken off and suddenly become a woman. But you don't have a woman. You just have a castrated, impotent man. That's all you have. And when we say otherwise, we're being both intellectually dishonest and incredibly damaging to the culture. And we have to hold our government to account to say, no, you don't use the emergency powers unless you need them. And if lawmakers have had ample time to consider a problem and they haven't chosen to authorize a certain solution for it, aka the so-called climate, quote unquote, emergency, then declaring a national emergency to bypass the Congress is a blatant misuse of power. This is why I get so frustrated with all the executive orders that come out, even the ones that I appreciate. It's like, man, you guys, the Congress is actually there for a reason. But reason, speaking of reason, is lost in our country right now. And when we ignore the Congress, when we ignore how things are supposed to run, we do so at our peril. We absolutely do so at our peril. I hope that you will do your homework on the climate crisis in the United States, the so-called climate crisis, because I'm telling you what, I do think it's going to heat up. And the weakening of Western culture and Western civilization by trying to eliminate oil, to eliminate natural gas as energy sources, the scientific basis for so-called net zero is based more on general agreement than it is on hard data. It's based on propaganda. It's not based on data. And anyone who is seriously studying this issue would be honest enough to tell you that. And I'm increasingly stunned by the posturing that's happening on the left right now. And you can almost see the wheels are turning. Well, maybe if we declare a climate crisis, a climate so-called emergency, then they'll get back some modicum of the control that they so desperately want to have over the everyday lives of ordinary Americans like you and I. This is interesting too, and I read this recently, and I want to find out what the date is on it. About 7 months ago, Bill Gates actually said that there wasn't a climate emergency, and a lot of people were saying, oh man, I mean, he stunned the audience by saying that the climate crisis narrative is a hoax. And this all comes from the New York Times Climate Forward Summit, where Bill Gates was a featured speaker. And while he was being interviewed, he dropped this bombshell saying he doesn't think there's an urgent climate crisis and went on to say, quote, no temperate country is going to become inhabitable. And so he basically just said the quiet part out loud. But for some reason, we still let these climate crisis clowns into positions of authority in our government. And they're trying to do everything from pushing electric vehicles to making sure that you can't have a propane stove in your house. What a ridiculous season that we are living through right now. But I'm going to encourage you, do your homework, because this idea of a climate crisis is absolutely a hoax. I don't listen to these people. I stopped a long time ago. And the whole idea of electric vehicles, by the way, absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous that the Biden administration would tell us that electric vehicles are the so-called cure to the so-called climate emergency. And I read an awesome article, and I'll link back to it in the show notes today, talking about the range, you know, why the electric vehicles are not the cure for any kind of manufactured crisis. And he says, specifically point out the problem, not the range. If you want to argue with these people, don't point out the range. Like, we actually got a rental car by accident. We got an electric vehicle rental car by accident when we were, I don't know where we were, Arizona or something. I hated that thing. I mean, we had to stop and find on the map places that we could charge the car. And if it wasn't one of the new charging stations, then you're stuck in that place for an hour and a half while your car tries to charge. And where are they getting the electricity? Where is that coming from? It's so ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The thing that gives the lie to the idea that we must all drive an electric vehicle because of a supposed looming crisis is the fact that electric vehicles are excessive. None of them are designed to minimize the use of electrical energy or resources. And I want you guys to think on that for just a second. If there's a crisis pending, you know, an emergency, then we should be doing everything we can to prevent what is supposed to be coming. And they're saying, well, this is what electric vehicles will do. And this is why we're pushing them out on the market. But every single one of them is overweight and overpowered. They all brag about how they accelerate. And that quickness is, what does that do? It's consumptive, right? So it's more and more energy that's needed. So whether you're burning gas or electricity, it burns faster when you use it to get several pounds of a vehicle moving quickly. And it's a lie that electrical vehicles are going to help the whole thing is, it's so disingenuous. And I hear about this all the time. There are efficient hybrid cars, you know, I would say Prius, but what does a Prius do? It uses less energy. And this whole thing is, you know, rather than conserve and minimize, we're just using the same amount of energy, but just in a different way. And so I hope that we can start talking about this. I hope we start talking about it in the Christian community and maybe turn off the news and start using common sense. Because the moment that the Biden administration declares that we're going to go into lockdown to save the planet, an emergency declaration to save the planet, I think you're going to have full-blown rebellion in the United States. And in fact, I hope that we do, because it's just, it's so ridiculous. In other news, another trans boy has beaten yet another girl in Indiana. And PJ Media talked about it this way. They said the ability of transgender, quote unquote, women, in other words, men, to continually demonstrate how much they hate actual women and girls never ceases to amaze me, especially when there are kids involved. Real News Central Indiana described how the kid grabbed the unnamed victim's ponytail, threw her to the ground, and commenced with a beating. The accomplice recording the video airdropped it to everyone else in the school, but the poor girl who was attacked is being harassed and bullied. Now, she went back to school the next day, the paper reported, but it's been hard on her. Just to make the situation worse, the attacker was allegedly the same boy who forced Lebanon Middle School to acknowledge that allowing boys into girls' locker rooms is a bad idea. Crazy. Nice going, Lebanon Middle School. You're killing it. So Grayson Bakich, I think that's how you say his name, Bakich, not sure. But Grayson wrote this article, and he also wrote an article a couple weeks ago about another loony. His name's Kyle Calvert, a self-described trans non-binary man. How can you be? you can't make this stuff up. Trans, I'm trans non-binary. You know, I fly and I swim. This guy successfully tried to nail bomb the Alabama state capitol and supposedly had issues with violent impulses. And the same day, Matt Margolis touched briefly upon what's been happening at the Planet Fitness facilities. I mean, oh my goodness, you guys, Planet Fitness is on its head right now because they're allowing biological males into the locker rooms with women. It's insane. It's completely insane. There's so much perverted stuff happening in the culture right now. I mean, we are living in unprecedented times. And it goes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the show today, that if we don't stand for truth, and I believe this with all my heart, truth is a hill worth dying on. Truth is a hill worth dying on. You're watching students protesting in favor of Hamas. I'm pretty sure that back in October, we all watched as paragliders for the terrorist organization that is Hamas dropped men, armed men, into the middle of peaceful Israelis and began systematically killing and raping and torturing innocent people. And what do we have happening at our universities here in the United States? We've got students that are pro-Palestine and they are chanting in support of this wickedness and this evil. That is the day in which we live. I saw a video of a young woman who was interviewed at Columbia University, and they asked her, why are you protesting here against Israel? And she looked at her friend and was like, why are we here? They don't even know. The level of groupthink and stupidity that's fallen over this country is astonishing right now. And the only way that you address it is by standing up for truth wherever you are. So when you have an opportunity, tell the truth. And the first place that you have an opportunity to speak truth is to your children. We need to speak truth in our churches. And then we need to go out of the four walls of our churches, out of the four walls of our homes, and begin to speak the truth in the culture again. God calls us to be men and women who speak the truth. The Bible says that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And as long as we live by lies, right? What they did to us in COVID was a lie. It was perpetuated by a lie. It lived and breathed on a lie. The fear that descended over this nation like a cold, wet blanket during the Rona was based on a lie. Fear is a cousin of deceit. And when you have to push people in to control them, and you do it through fear and you do it through lies, then you can see why we're not called to give into that spirit of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. So how do you know if you're living in fear? Well, the main way to know is that you lose your power, you lose your love, and you lose your soundness of mind. And we need it now more than ever. So I just want to encourage you guys, be in your Bibles every day. If you haven't joined me yet over at the Faith That Speaks community, I hope that you'll do that. And also, I really hope that you'll take advantage of an opportunity that I have to engage with my audience, to check out my friends over at VidAngel. I am more and more concerned. I just met a mom the other day whose 12-year-old daughter had been watching something online on their family, you know, streaming, you know, videos. I don't know if it was Netflix. I don't know where she saw it, but she started questioning her gender. And at the age of 12, for goodness sake, I mean, when I was 12 years old, I was, you know, we were still playing stickball, for goodness sake. And these kids are questioning their gender and the stuff that's being pushed at them through, you know, shows that we see, movies, things that stream on the internet is absolutely disgusting. It's hurting our children. You guys can enjoy watching things on television without the foul language, without the sexual content, without the, you know, the naked rear ends in your face every time you turn around, without the violence, without the profanity, by checking out what they're doing over at VidAngel. And I hope you guys will do it. And actually, if you go to vidangel.com/Heidi, they will give you a 2-week free trial. My husband and I have been using VidAngel for years and years and years. And in fact, we were using VidAngel before it was VidAngel. A long time ago, it was something called ClearPlay. I mean, some of you guys might remember, a little clunky because you had to get like a thumb drive and update it every time a new movie came out. And this is much more user-friendly. You just turn it on, you log in, you load the show up that you want on VidAngel via their streaming platform, and then you decide. You can say, I don't want to see any naked heinies. I don't want to hear the Lord's name in vain. I don't want to see sexual content. And in fact, I heard the other day that Yellowstone is the most downloaded show on VidAngel, which sort of cracks me up because I'm like, I mean, how much of Yellowstone was left after VidAngel, after they, you know, picked all the appropriate filters, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know. But it is a pretty good story. How do I know that? Because I watched the first season of it, you guessed it, on VidAngel. So check it out, you guys. Go to vidangel.com/Heidi and get 2 weeks free with the streaming platform. I think you guys are going to love it as much as I do. You guys, protect the hearts and minds of your kids, and you can protect your heart and your mind too. And instead of being indoctrinated by the world, we can stand out as men and women who believe God's word and live it out in the culture. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Heidi St. John, and I will see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.